fourth chapter. I didn't get out of this chapter today as we were studying. We wanted to mention two. All right, Isaiah 54, and we're going to read from the 11th verse. All of this 11th verse was precious to us last week. I enjoyed it, but we're going to move on into the 12th and on down this week. Verse 11, O thou afflicted, and this is, of course, speaking to the remnant of Israel in the end day, O thou afflicted, tossed with a tempest and not comforted. And of course, this is Satan and his host that will be afflicting them, and all the nations of the world that are satanically controlled will be afflicted, which they are now. They're afflicting Israel. They're being tossed with a tempest. They're not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones, and this is looking into the future, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And then the 12th verse, and I will lay thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. So much in all of this. As we noticed last week, and we brought out that the foundation that he's talking about here is not seen. And we went into the colors, but we won't go back into that. But the foundation is not seen by man. And this is what we have in Christ. We don't see him. And we read that scripture in in Ephesians 3, 17 and 18. Where we're rooted and grounded in love. Praise the Lord. And the stones here, as we brought out, were blue. The sapphires are blue in color. It speaks of the heavenlies. And speaks of the love of God that is always blue. It's heavenly. It's a heavenly love. And it never, never changes. Praise the Lord. And then he talks here about the windows, or the another rendition of this is like pinnacles, and I will speak on that as we go on here. Everything that is living, we know, has to have light, or it's going to die. I was reading the other day how long it took for life to die if there wasn't the light. But in these minerals that we have here in this section, we have spiritually the gradual unfolding of God's divine glory to this nation Israel, and how after they accept Jesus as their Messiah, that divine glory is going to unfold. And he's using the minerals here to tell us this, of the glory of God that's going to just unfold within this nation Israel. It's going to be in them because of their acceptance of Jesus, but then it's going to come out as these minerals do. There's a lot that I read on this. It's a marvelous thing on these minerals. The way you turn them, that they get more light. But the Lord made these minerals with all of this in mind. He didn't make the minerals just to be in the earth. He made the minerals to show forth the glory of the Lord. And that's what he's using. Everything he's made it for his purposes. Not just for an earthly thing, for man to use. But he's made everything that he's made for the glory of the Lord. Whatever it is. These windows of agates. In the Hebrew, these are minarets. And minarets are a very tall, slender tower. Or also they're called pinnacles. A small spire. Agates are red in appearance. They're also translated rubies. So every minaret or every tower is going to sparkle as the flashing of rubies. Now, the glory of this city is going to be marvelous. We're talking about the earthly Jerusalem. It's going to be marvelous. And as we know, red is the color of the blood, and it speaks of the life of Christ, and that they'll have the life of Christ in them, which will never end. And the glory of that city is going to show forth all the glory that is within them. And not only them, but the city itself. Praise the Lord. And also, the minaret, it also has the color of fire, or these agates. That it has the color of fire and lightning, and it speaks of wrath also and victory. And then he talks about the gates of carbuncles. There's so much in all of this, and studying it today, it's just so precious to me. These carbuncles are stones of fiery splendor, and they're red. It's a red and a very precious stone. And when a carbuncle is held to the sun, they become like a burning coal. Can you just imagine the glory of that city? It's going to be marvelous. Not only the natural glory, I mean, what man can see, but the spiritual. And this is what's important here. This is what he's bringing out. And these are going to be saints that are going to be in that city there. They're going to be born again ones. Paul talks about the saints in light in Colossians 1:12. And these are saints who will be on earth, and they will reflect the glory of God, just as these mineral stones do in type. Man will reflect, and that's what we do today as we walk with the Lord and walk in the Spirit. We reflect the glory that is of Christ that is within us. We don't reflect things of the natural, but we reflect the glory of the Lord that is He's changing us into from glory to glory. Oh, praise the Lord. These truths are marvelous to me. Now, we know that these are going to be the earthly people. The heavenly saints also will have their glory. But in studying today, the Lord just whispered to me, where are these minerals taken from? The earth. See, Israel's going to be is an earthly. And these minerals tell us that their glory is going to be an earthly glory. But the church, what are they compared to? 1 Corinthians 15, let's go over there. This was, the Holy Spirit just pointed that out to me. Now, faith, see this? These are out of the earth. They're going to manifest an earthly glory. Now, the church in 1 Corinthians 15, there's a celestial glory. There's in 1 Corinthians 15, 40, there are celestial bodies, that's heavenly. Their body's terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Here we see the different glories. Israel will have a terrestrial glory when that will shine forth from them. But the heavenly saints, the church is a heavenly. And so the heavenly glory is compared to the sun, the moon, and the stars. See the difference? They're the heavenly, what God made. And this is what the church is compared to. The sun is a greater glory than any of these minerals. And the moon even is. And so are the stars. But they're up there. The minerals are down here. That was so precious to me when the Lord showed that to me. These minerals come from the earth, but the sun and the moon and the stars are heavenly. Just think of this. It's marvelous to me. I just thank the Lord for these wonderful little hidden things that He unveils to our hearts. Praise the Lord. They're precious to my heart. There's treasure in this book that none of us will ever uncover. I don't care how long we live here. All right. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, or God taught, it says in the Hebrew. And great shall be the peace of thy children. All shall be taught of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's going to be quite a change from what there is now. They won't need any instruction from man. Let's turn over to chapter 48, 17, and read a scripture over there. Let's read the 16th, 48, 16, and 17. Come ye near unto me, and hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in His Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. He's going to be the one who's going to direct this remnant. He's going to teach them how to profit spiritually. He'll lead them by the way exactly where they're going to go. And then over in Jeremiah 31:34, Oh, praise the Lord. This word that we can feast upon. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to read from 31 because this speaks of that new covenant that he's going to make with the house of Israel. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Is the Israel speaking of the 10 tribes and Judah the 2 tribes. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Now what covenant was that? Covenant of the law. Yes, it was the Mosaic covenant. Which my covenant they break, and they did, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law. He's going to do all of this. I will put my law in their inward parts, like he does us today, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. I don't know about you folks, dear ones, but when the Holy Spirit makes a scripture or something real to me, I can just feel the Holy Spirit writing that in my heart. It's there, and it'll never leave. It becomes a part of us. It becomes our life. The word becomes our very life. We live and move in him then. It's a wonderful thing. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Won't that be wonderful? From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and that's going to be a wonderful thing. And I will remember their sin no more. Notice it's singular, their sin. The sin was the rejection of his son, of the Son of God. But he's going to remember this no more. But it's going to be marvelous, isn't it? Oh, to read these scriptures and to get our nose in this book is the most wonderful thing any of us could do. To understand the wealth that we have in this book. What Israel has before them is marvelous. Oh, I thank the Lord. Their peace, we read here in Isaiah, their peace is going to be great. Great shall be the peace of thy children. In the place of this inward and outward distress that they're going through now, this nation of Israel, they're going to have perfect peace, inward and outward. We can have this today, and we do have this today. And we thank the Lord for it. But for them, which this primarily is speaking concerning, they're going to have this peace. And they don't have it today, do they? More and more we hear of the things that are going on over there. All right, the 14th verse. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now, what do we hear today? All about terror, don't we, the terrorists? See, this is what they won't have anymore. And all of this is going to be enjoyed on the basis of that fact that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their righteousness. Notice this word in is also through. Through righteousness wilt thou be fortified. I liked that. That was one of the Hebrew translations. Another translation of this verse is, In righteousness shall thy foundations be sunken. I like that too. From anxiety far, not shalt thou fear. We won't have any anxiety anymore. Think how often during the day the enemy would want to make us anxious. And this nation Israel is anxious today, but they won't be anymore. From terror removed, it shall not come anigh thee. Isn't that marvelous? His righteousness, God's righteousness, his gift to them, will make them strong within and victorious without. It's going to be wonderful. They will not suffer oppression, for they'll have nothing to fear. The Lord, it will have control of everything which he does now, but then it's going to be a different story altogether. Let's read Psalm 72. Oh, praise the Lord. 72:2. Well, let's read 2 and 3. It's both, well, let's start from the first verse. Oh, this is a song of Solomon, but this looks forward to this reign of Jesus Christ. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. Who are we? We're the king's son, aren't we? He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor or thy afflicted with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills thy righteousness. We're going to talk a little more as we go on in here about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful, wonderful subject. All right, this 15th verse now. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. This is concerning the enemies of the Lord of Israel that will then, even in that day, try to gather together because Satan will be bound. He'll have a certain amount of control yet, because there will be people on this earth during the 1,000 years that will still be born in sin. They'll have to be saved. So there will still be the enemies of Israel on this earth. And we read in several places that there will be people that will yield feigned obedience to the Lord. They'll pretend to accept the Lord. And it will be these that will gather around Jerusalem at the end of the 1,000 years who will try to overthrow Jerusalem. And that's when the Lord will send fire down from heaven. So here we read, and this is from Scripture now, this is during the 1,000 years, that these enemies, they're going to fall, as Jerusalem will be invincible. She will not be able to be conquered, because God himself is going to be her protector. And Jerusalem, of course, is a city that all of these religions want, is they want to own Jerusalem, have a part of Jerusalem. The Lord's not going to let them, because this belongs to the nation Israel. God himself is going to reign there in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. All right, he says, behold, and notice the two eyes in this verse. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. In my Bible, I have the Antichrist in here. He's going to be bound, but yet he's going to have a certain amount of power. This, God created the workman that makes the arms. He created everything, as we know. He created the workman that makes the arms, and him who destroys with the arms. He created everything. And he has both the creator that of the smith, and the one that bloweth forth an instrument for his work. He created both of these, and God has them both in his control. And that's wonderful. He is Lord, isn't he? He is controller. And he's not going to let anything harm this nation, Israel. This is a marvelous, marvelous scripture, this in here. All of this that the nations are trying to do today, create things to destroy this nation Israel, that's what they want to do. As Nasser said years ago, he wants to push that nation into the sea. Well, they're not going to do it. Praise the Lord. Because this nation is part of God's plan and purposes. They're the one we want to watch, is this nation Israel. And then this 17th verse, this verse is a marvelous verse. When I was studying it today, I just said, what a marvelous verse. And I wrote that down. It's marvelous. Because this is a great verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now take in that verse. That's a good verse. I love this. This word weapon is anything that is prepared and used in a hostile way. Anything, whatever it may be. And the one who destroys is Satan. He's called the destroyer. Let's go to a couple of scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 10:10, we'll read that and then we'll go over to Revelation. Now, let's take this in tonight, because I'll tell you, Satan is after every one of us to try to destroy us. 1 Corinthians 10:10. This is speaking concerning Israel who disobeyed the Lord. They murmured, they were fornicators, they tempted the Lord, and all, they were idolaters. And in the 10th verse, he says, neither murmur ye, talking to us, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, God allowed Satan to destroy all of that first generation that left the land of Egypt. Not a one of them entered except Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two that entered that land of Canaan. But all the rest of them, their carcasses fell by the wayside. Now, let's go over to Revelation 9. Now, keep in mind who this enemy is. And we're living right at the door of the coming of the Lord. And the enemy would love nothing better than to destroy any of us, to defeat us. Revelation 9:11. And I'll tell you, he can use anybody who's willing to be used too. Revelation 9:11. Well, I'm going to start up above. This is under the fifth angel. This is quite going to be quite a time. This will be at the last 3.5 years. In the 6th verse, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. These locusts came up out of the earth. They out of the pit. The 2nd verse says they rose from the bottomless pit. This pit was opened, and these locusts here came up out of that pit. And the 2nd verse says, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth had power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, which speaks of the saints that are here, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should kill them, but that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Dear ones, it won't pay to be down here at that time, and the Lord's promised to keep us out of this time. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. I wouldn't want to look at one of them. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. God allowed it. We will allow it. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, and this in the Hebrew is destroyer. That's all Satan wants to do is destroy. He is a destroyer. So let's keep this in mind as we study this. All right, he talks about, over here in the 7th verse, he talks about the weapon that man makes that they will try to destroy. And then he talks about every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This spoke to me. This scene changes now from a battlefield to a court of justice. And Apollyon is in another guise, as we see here. Here he is the accuser of the brethren. Let's go over to Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and the 10th verse. He has done this from the very beginning of time. We know that he tried to defeat Adam and Eve from the very beginning. And the Lord was already with a coat of skin to cover them with the blood. Praise the Lord. 12:10 of Revelation. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's what he still does. He's speaking primarily here of the 144,000 who will be left. But this, he still does that to those of us here. He is the accuser of the saints of God. But notice how they overcame. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But notice here, Israel is going to be clothed with the garments of salvation. They will be, as we read down here in the 14th verse, there in righteousness shalt thou be established. Now, let's go over to the 61st chapter of Isaiah and see what they're going to be clothed with. It's going to be marvelous. This blessed remnant that is going to go through that tribulation, and we read in one of the earlier chapters of Isaiah where they're going to be so weak and so distraught that they're going to lay in the streets like drunken people. They won't even be able to help themselves. And this is when the Lord is going to come down out of the glory with his people and manifest himself to this nation Israel. This is when the seraphim are going to come with him, Isaiah 6. The seraphim are going to come right down with him, and that's those living creatures of which we hope to be a part of. We trust we will be there, and we'll have part in the judgment of Israel and of cleansing of Israel. Praise the Lord. Well, let's read this in Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For now, this is the remnant. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. This is the remnant of Israel who will become the bride again of Jehovah. They will be restored to her husband, God himself, and he'll take them. And he's going to clothe them with the garment of salvation. And their sin penalty as then will be fully paid. It's already fully paid, but they will know that it's fully paid because they have on this righteousness, their righteousness, the righteousness of God. In this verse here, it says, the 17th verse of our study chapter, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. I like that. Their righteousness is of me. I love it. Praise the Lord. Israel will be clothed with the garments of salvation, and their righteousness will be of him. And any who condemn them are themselves condemned. Now, this is what he's talking about here. If we condemn, we cannot condemn. And we're going to get into Romans in a little bit. Because if we condemn ourselves, somebody else, and they're guiltless, the condemnation comes right back upon us. I want to read something that was in one of the study books that brings this out, and it was precious to me. He says something very striking follows this about this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. When one accuses another falsely, the accuser becomes as guilty as the accused would have been had the accusation been justified. Nor is it difficult to see the justice of this. If, for instance, I accuse a man of murder, the penalty of which is death, then do I aim at his death? And if there be no just ground for the accusation, I become the murderer. So perfectly freed are the redeemed that thoroughly is justice satisfied by the full penalty having been borne, and not a vestige of guilt left, that the accuser, ignoring this, is himself guilty. Now, can you follow that? If we blame somebody and accuse somebody of that they killed somebody and they haven't done it, we in other words, we say, I want that person dead. I'm accusing them and I want them to die. This is what the nations are trying to do today. You know, of all the blame they're putting upon Israel, and Israel is to blame for rejecting the Son of God. But one of these days, they will not be anymore. I love that. That's, to me, that was a precious point. Then he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Looked up the word heritage. I get in these scriptures and I have to look these things up. This heritage means a special possession granted by Jehovah to Sitkanu. Now, we've been talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jehovah to Sitkanu is our righteousness. Our righteousness is a gift of God that we have as a result of the suffering of Jesus Christ. When we study the names of Jehovah, oh, it's been several years ago, I don't know. I told the folks coming in, that study has stayed with me. Because when I read the word now, and I come to a name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit helps me to identify who that is, what his name is in this place. Here, their righteousness is Jehovah to Sitkanu. Now, let's read some scriptures. Let's go over to Jeremiah 23. We had this the other morning by one of the teachers. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Oh, praise the Lord. This righteousness that God has given to us is nothing to be shunned. It's something that we have that's our robe. It's our protection. It's everything that the enemy cannot assault us because we are in him. We have his righteousness. We're clothed with his righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Christ is our life. He is our righteousness. Praise the Lord. Let's read 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Won't that be wonderful? I'm looking forward to that day. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah to Sitkanu. Then it's over also in chapter 33, 16. And we could say that today. He is our righteousness. He is our protection. He's that which, that shield, faith, and that righteousness that we have. It's our protection. It's a wonderful thing because we have a destroyer. 33:16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. This is the name wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Again, this is this remnant that he's telling here. She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. It is God who justifies this remnant. We're justified by Jesus Christ, who wrought this perfect righteousness for us and for all who believe, and he clothes us with this righteousness. It is our heritage. I love that. It's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Praise the Lord. It's our heritage, and it comes as a result of Calvary. All right, let's read a couple scriptures in Corinthians. Oh, this word is life. It is life. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I'm going to start up above the 26th verse. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things, or people is in the another rendition, and people which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. I like that. The reason that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now this is us, who of God is made unto us wisdom, even righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How wonderful. Praise the Lord. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We have nothing, nothing to boast in. We're not going to stand up there and boast of one thing. 2 Corinthians, this scripture we're quite familiar with, but it brings out this truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, or caused him, sin for us. He knew that's what he was going to be when he came down here. For he hath caused him sin for us, who knew no sin. He didn't know any sin. That we might be made, now take this in, we be made or become the righteousness of God in him. This speaks of equity of character. We become just like him. We're made the righteousness of God in him. We become like him. Isn't that marvelous? We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We're made just like he is. He is righteous, and we are made that as we yield. We're made it when we're have that robe when we're saved. The more the word becomes our life, that righteousness, we partake of it more and more. It's imparted unto us. Little poem I found that goes along with that. Thy righteousness is mine, my robe resplendent now before the throne. In thee I stand accepted there, in thee, Son of God, alone. He accepts us. Men don't, but he does, but he's the one that's important. In Ephesians 4:24, let's read this one. These scriptures the Lord, the Holy Spirit, just kept bringing to me today as I was studying. Ephesians 4:24, the 23rd verse says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Just be. It doesn't say do. It says just be. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man that came up from the grave when Christ arose is created in righteousness and true holiness. So put him on. We have him. Let's put him on. And then we become the servants. And I want to read this one in Romans 6. I like this scripture. I'll never forget when Brother Adam Perotti was back here in college many years ago. And he was sitting in our living room. And the Lord revealed this truth to his heart. And he was sitting over in the corner. And the Lord revealed this truth to his heart then. And he just began to praise the Lord. It was wonderful. Praise the Lord. The 12th verse, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. We're not debtors to sin anymore. We don't have to yield to sin anymore. It's dead. Neither yield ye your members, these bodily members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. We have a new life in us that's alive from the dead. All right. That's living in us. We yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Every part of us, we yield to him. They become instruments of righteousness. Every part of our body. We walk in the Spirit. We move in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. In this spiritual realm. And our members do not become servants of unrighteousness. That's a wonderful place for the Lord to bring us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We do this now. This is the training ground while we're right here. Oh, I thank the Lord. All right. I want to read a poem. I read that regarding in Romans. That's so wonderful. I keep going back to Romans 6. It's a wonderful chapter. This poem is from a man that, he was a Scottish man. His name was Robert Murray McChaney. He died when he's 29 years old. But listen to this poem and realize the revelation that God gave this man, 29 years old. He says, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load, though friends spake in rapture of Christ on the tree. Jehovah Tsikanu was nothing to me. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me and I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah Tsikanu, my Savior, must be. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears banished. With boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah Tsikanu is all things to me. Isn't that precious? Praise the Lord! He is this to us, Jehovah Tsikanu. The Lord is my righteousness. He is my life. If we are accused and we're in Him, He's accusing Christ, whoever the tongue, whatever we may be accused of, we are in Him. That's a wonderful thing. Hold up that righteousness. We have it in Him. Praise the Lord. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. We have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not worth a thing. They're smelly. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Well, that's all we're going to have tonight. Any thoughts on this? We just didn't want to go into this 55th chapter. Oh, it's so much in this 55th chapter. It's so rich. I almost got into it in one or two verses, but time was running out and I just couldn't do it today. But if we just had a little more time, you know, it'd be wonderful. Praise the Lord. These gold mines of truth. It's marvelous to me how the Holy Spirit can take us deeper in scriptures that we've memorized or have heard over the years, and then we get into them and the Holy Spirit just begins to unfold them to our hearts. Praise the Lord. Any thoughts or comments on any of this? Any questions? Praise the Lord. His righteousness is a treasure. It's a gift. It's a gift that we have. Well, and the NTA, yes, but it's also for us, because God deals with us as individuals today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I was reading in the Gospels, I forget what it's reading now, but he quoted that, he that hath an ear, let him hear, and he stopped right there. I forget what it was about, but he didn't say to the churches, because it was in the Gospel, in the one of the four Gospels, and I forget where it was now. But then, Jesus was dealing with individuals, because he knew that Israel as a nation wouldn't accept him. He knew that before he ever came. I think of how man today is celebrating his birth. Are they really celebrating his birth? No, not really.